Well, I mean, is that kind of going against what we do, or I mean, we used to go beyond that, but you know, things kind of dried up. We didn't have much to work with. We kind of zeroed in on our own, but yeah, it's not going to fix much, but laying over, trying to help. So it feels like kind of sorry for the guy. If you remember here a while back, tree fell in their house. No, he was coming to church on Sunday, and the car overheated, and they had to pull over. She got a bunch. Between his kids and her kids and their kids. Yeah. So. Good evening. How we all do? Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 7, 10. I'm going to say it might get a little crowded. Well, we wouldn't be doing our distancing thing. I'm going to say if we all huddled in the nursery, we'd be warmer. But oh, so you enjoying February yet? Yeah, okay. Got a note from somebody. Their family lives in West Virginia. Said they were getting an inch an hour with snow. So, yeah, okay. Well, tonight we're going to be talking together about defeating discouragement through prayer. And we don't have to look too far. You know, we've said that we don't have to look too far to find people that are unsaved that need to know about the Lord. And we also don't need to look too far around us to find people that are discouraged and need to be encouraged. And one of the ways that we can do that is through prayer. And we'll see that here, at least part of the lesson tonight. Let's pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here together. Thank you for a nice, warm church building that we can meet in, freedom to do so, safety on the roads. I pray that you guide us in our study here tonight, that we can learn some truths that we can apply to our day-to-day life, that you can use us as prayer warriors to be an encouragement to those around about us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I had several illustrations I'm going to share with you, which I promptly left at home. So we'll share those next week. But I did come across this one. And it's like sometimes, you know, remember, some of you remember Paul Harvey, you know, and he tells them, and then here's the rest of the story, you know. Well, sometimes you meet people and they might be a little like a porcupine and you don't quite know why, you know, and you might just kind of steer clear of them, or they're kind of rough and gruff and, you know.
sometimes there's things going on in their life that we don't know about. If we knew about them, we might understand them a little bit better and maybe be a little more understanding. I came across this. I don't know if any of you ever heard of George Truett. Okay, he was quite an effective pastor in Texas some decades ago. But the story goes on to tell about his heart was broken when he accidentally killed his best friend while they were out on a hunting trip. His daughter said that she never heard him laugh after that day. Truett had a radio program, and each day when it came to a close, he would say, "Be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time." Because he knew personally what heavy burden people could be carrying, he encouraged compassion towards them. Sometimes we cross paths with people who seem to be a bit brusque and not very easy to like. Yet there usually is a reason for their behavior, and often it's because they're hiding a heavy heart. If we take the time to understand what happened, we may find that while they have a tough exterior, inwardly they're desperately wishing for someone to care about them. You know, and we might be surprised how many people that we're rubbing shoulders with at work or neighbors or whatever, if we knew the rest of the story. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to tell you what the rest of the story is, but part of us trying to understand people, and well, one thing, whether we understand them or not, we can pray for them. You know, there's a lot of things out there that we can't fix. Okay, and sometimes that can be frustrating. And sometimes I think people wonder why I might like to tinker with cars or lawnmowers or snowblowers or whatever. You know, it's easier to fix those kind of things than it is people. Once in a while, it's nice to be able to just, when you're done, pull the rope when it starts. You can't always do that with people, you know. And so, yeah, we can be doing something to help, and we might think, well, I can't do anything but pray. Like that's nothing, folks. That might be the most important, the most effective tool that we could possibly come up with, you know. People aren't always looking for answers to all their problems, and whatever answer we have may or may not be the right one anyway, okay? But when we pray, we're joining hands with the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe. He's got all the answers. He's got all the power, okay? And so it's kind of like we're plugging into 220. There's lots of power there. And not that we can make us more powerful, but He can minister to their needs when they're a long way away. And I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit here about Dalton Windsor and his wife that were at the Mayo. Well, I have no medical degree. And I don't have the ability to fix people's other physical problems or whatever, okay? But I can pray for them, and God knows what they are. And along with Him being God, He's the great physician. And He knows just how to heal, when to heal, and how much to heal even. And so hopefully we'll be encouraged ourselves as we think about this lesson. We're looking here at 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 9 through 13, and we aren't going to make it through all that. But let's look there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And so we'll look at these couple of verses here tonight. And as it starts out, you might be wondering how you can encourage a family, your friends, neighbors, relatives, so on. And we're going to look at some principles here tonight that I think that can help us, okay? And although it doesn't specifically get into this here, James talks about that, the fact that we need faith and works, you know? We need to pray, but if there are things that we can physically do, then and we're prompted to do them, we ought to follow through with that too. Okay, it's not an excuse just to fold our hands and pray that somebody else does something, you know. But it might motivate us. It's kind of like when they talk about praying for missionaries. Lord, send missionaries to England or Germany or whatever. That we need to be willing ourselves to go if the Lord would prompt us. Okay? Because He might give us the nudge. Okay? They need missionaries, and I want you to be one of them. Right? But anyway, we need some one of Satan's big tools. That I talk about his tools in his tool bag is discouragement. And why does he keep using it? Because it works. It works. And so we need to figure out how can we combat it? How do we deal with it? You know? And so one of those things, as we see here, we can pray for those that are discouraged. And he says there in 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, how does Samuel reveal the seriousness of not praying for others? Well, he said it would be a sin against God not to pray for them. So he said, if we know to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. Okay? So we know we ought to be doing something. You know, don't just go on to the next thing. Stop and do it, whatever it is. And if prayer is what it takes, doesn't mean you have to drop down on both knees and pray for an hour, you know. And as we'll see here, how long the prayer is not necessarily tied to how effective it is. So as he mentions here, it's a sin of omission not to pray for people when we're encouraged to do so. Well, Paul wasn't guilty of that. We see him many times over talking about the fact that he's praying for other people. You know, whenever he thinks of you, he's rejoicing. He's praying for them. And so I like what he said here, and it's true. I found this out to be myself. He says, prayer is a double-barreled weapon. Because when we're praying for somebody else, well, okay, you tell me, how does it work as a double-barreled weapon? What are the two benefits of it? Okay. You want to expand on that? Okay. I'm taking turns of picking on people. And so tonight, who shall I pick on? Matthew. No, we did that last week. We can't get him 2 weeks in a row. We'll pick on Bob. Okay, if we're going to pray for Bob, now that's a good thing, to pray for Bob, okay? That's one barrel. What's the other one? Pardon? Okay, we're talking to God about Bob. We're trying to, you know, if we are aware of needs, we're going to talk to them about meeting Bob's needs. All right? But while we're talking to God about Bob, what aren't we doing? Thinking about ourselves. Thinking about ourselves, right. We get our eyes off our problems, our worries, our concerns, and, I mean, it doesn't make them go away, but sometimes you just need, you need a break, right? And so we're focusing on praying for Bob that God would meet Bob's needs. Ta-da! If God meets Bob's needs, maybe he can meet mine too. All right? And so as we're praying for somebody else, we get the focus off of self, gets our focus on the Lord, and so we can defeat discouragement in our own lives, and it can help defeat the discouragement that might come to Bob's life. And so everybody benefits. I mean, it's one of these win-win things. You come across some things and it's a lose-lose, you know. But this is a win-win. And so we want to look at three ingredients as this week and next. How we can pray and how that will be used to defeat discouragement. And again, just in this passage, he says there in verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So he says we need to pray frequently, often. Okay? Not just morning, noon, and night when you sit down to eat. Now I realize some people maybe eat all day long, and so they pray every time they eat. That's, they're praying frequently. But it doesn't mean that he's praying all night or all day. But he's praying frequently throughout the day, throughout the night. He's praying for these folks. He says, what other element does Paul reveal about his prayer life in Philippians 1:3? He says he thanked God each time that he remembered them. Every time I think of you, I'm thanking God for you. Do that. Does God bring people to your mind from time to time? Maybe just kind of out of the blue, you know? they're not maybe not necessarily on your prayer list, at least whether it's written out or in your mind, or you wake up in the night and somebody's on your mind, or Lord brings something to your mind. You know, that may be God just kind of giving you a little nudge to pray for that particular person. And the thing is, more often than not, we have no idea what's going on in the life of that other person. And if you read many stories about prayer, usually there's some in there that will tell, and I read one here a while back, and I can't remember all the details, but it was basically, it seemed like she was praying for her son, who was on a trip somewhere, and didn't know quite what was going on, but she just sensed that she needed to be praying for him. And then later on, you know, they met up, and you know, we got to ask him, what was going on, you know, Thursday at, you know, 7:30 at night? Oh, yeah, well, here's what it was. And they needed prayer at that particular point. You know, God knows it. And so he can bring people to our mind. And rather than just kind of brush it off, you know, I mean, it doesn't take long to pray for somebody. And again, if you don't have all the details, it isn't like you can get too detailed oriented. But we can nevertheless pray for the needs that we're aware of. And, you know, not just God bless the missionaries. And I think he talks about that somewhere in here. God bless so-and-so. Well, I guess that's when we start talking about specifics. How do you want me to bless them? Well, how about help them to learn the language if they're a missionary? Help keep them healthy. You know, they're a long way from a hospital. You know, all kinds of different things that we can pray for people that might be causing them discouragement. And I do, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, there's some things that I do. We live a block off of Forest Home. Forest Home is a fairly busy street. And it's on the way to hospitals. And so we see ambulances going by. I don't know what's going on. The lights are flashing. The siren's on. They're in a hurry. I don't know what's going on inside, if they're going to pick them up or they're taking them to the hospital or what. But I'll stop and pray for these folks. Or a fire truck that goes by. If there's a fire truck going by, somebody's usually got some problems. You know? And again, just things that we can do. We would want somebody else to pray for us if they were aware of it. Well, it's been a couple of years that you took a... How many have ridden in an ambulance? Was it a nice, smooth ride? No. You feel like you're in the back of a semi. Kaboom, kaboom. You're paying a lot of money. It ought to be a nice, smooth ride, but it's not. You know, it'd be nice if other people were praying for you when you went by, okay? And but he was saying when other people come to his mind, he would pray for them. And we can take a brief moment of prayer. I mean, if you're at work, you can't just always stop, fold your hands, close your eyes, bow your, you know, you better keep your eyes and ears open, you know, about what you're doing, but you can pray. Do you pray when you're driving down the road? You better not be closing your eyes. If you are, make sure I'm behind you. I don't want to be out of here. But it's a powerful thing. And there are some other places that I was looking at. One of them is right here in Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 17. Where we're told, this kind of goes along with that praying night and day. Here we're told to pray without ceasing. Now, what is this? Is this just 24/7? You know, I say after a while, my lips get tired. My brain gets tired. No, the idea is, this is the way I always understand this, okay? Pray without ceasing. That we ought to be in the attitude of prayer that whatever is going on, we can go immediately into prayer. Now, we'll see here later on that little short prayer that Peter makes, Lord, save me. Okay? But we need to be prayed up. We need to be confessed up. So, that, you know, okay, car's in my lane, all I'm seeing is headlights. Lord, help me. It isn't like, okay, Lord, with a few things we need to talk over. You know, it's been since communion last month, and I've sinned here and here and here and here and crunch. You know, no, we're in an attitude that we can go right into prayer. Okay, there's nothing that's going to hinder us from being able to pray. And whatever the situation might be, no matter who it's for. Again, this has to be some long, drawn-out thing. And it isn't some, you know, memorized thing. But it's that being able to come right into God. It's it's like your kids. Now, maybe you had your kids train better, you know, they come into the room and it's, Mom, Dad, can I speak? I don't want to interrupt anything. No, they come tearing in there and they just tell you whatever they got to say. And we could come right to God's house. We could come directly to the Lord and we can pray. Let's look at a couple more here. Timothy 1:3. Or I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Somewhere. Some of you get an old battery, you know. Oh no, I think it's a AA. If you start getting an old battery, bring it to church and we'll put it in that clock so it kind of slows down the clock so we get a little more time. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:3 here. He says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Okay? So whether he's praying night, day, whenever, he's remembering them. I mean, you probably do that for some people. You're praying for your kids or your grandkids or whatever. You know, pretty much every prayer, they're worked in there somehow. Well, and that can be a real encouragement to them. Short prayers, talks about that, okay? As he mentions here, the Lord's Prayer is only about a minute long. It doesn't have to be some big long thing. You don't have to use big long words. You don't get extra credit for using big words that other people can't understand. I mean, God will be able to understand, but as he mentions here, Peter, he's walking on the water. He starts looking at the waves and everything else, and instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, he starts thinking like a rock, and he calls out, "Lord, save me." Did it work? Yeah. Lord, reach out, grab hold. Come on, Peter. And he didn't have to go through some big, long list of repentance. He dealt with the sins, keep short accounts. He didn't have to go through a bunch of stuff before he was able to get around to asking for something that he needed help with. And so, again, our prayers don't need to be long, drawn-out things. We can pray short prayers. You know, I don't know how long it takes you to get to work, or if you got a lot of stoplights between here and there. You know, maybe you got to kind of keep one eye open. You know, don't wait for the car behind you to honk to know that it's your turn to go. But we can pray for all kinds of things, and they can be short prayers. What if you only pray, there might be some people that eat one meal a day. But I'm guessing most of us probably eat more than that. What if you just pray one big long prayer, what's the danger of that? Okay, that might be part of it. How good's your memory? You're going to remember everything? I mean, I get up here at times, and, well, it's like tonight, before I come, I'm getting texts, you know, phone calls, you know, and just, okay, tonight I wrote them down, okay? But to remember all the people, and if you did that all day long, okay, who all was I supposed to pray for? Well, what did they say? What was going on? No, you're better off praying for it as you realize there's a need there. Again, they might need that prayer right then, not 12 hours from now. Okay? Short prayers are good. And a lot of the prayers that we find in Scripture are short prayers. And I'm not asking for any raising of hands, but how many times do we tell people, "I'll pray for you"? Do we remember to do that? Or is it a couple of days later, "Oh, I forgot"? You know, when we hear the request, "Oh, I was going to pray for him and I forgot." I guess I was thinking of Dalton and Tracy driving up to Mayo last night. You know, they both worked all day and they had 5 hour, 6 hour drive up there, you know, and so prayed for him several times. Mark's getting reconstructed, you know. It wasn't just one little short prayer before it goes in. It's like, okay, we're half done now. Doctor might be getting a little tired. Eyes getting tired, you know. Lord, make those good stitches. Do the job right. Get the right torque on those, on that ball and socket, whatever the case may be. Praying frequently, like you said, night and day, throughout the day, throughout the night. It's kind of like meals. We eat several times a day. A lot of medicine you take. It's every 4 hours rather than just taking a fistful all at once. And again, the Lord can use those. Can you think of it? Okay, so you make some, I think I put that in there later on, but can you add anything to it? Okay, you're going to be praying for these people. And that's good. Is there anything else you might do that might be an encouragement to them? Because they may or may not know that you're praying for them. Why can't what? Yeah, right. Tell them. Okay, don't be bashful. I've run into very few people that ever said, don't pray for me. Or can I pray for you? No. I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me that. You know, they may not believe whatever I'm saying, you know, or agree with it or whatever, but I've never had anybody turn me down. I think most people think prayer is a good thing. And so let them know. I mean, that can be an encouragement of itself. If somebody's going through tough times, going through some trials, you know, you get a little text or an email, hey, praying for you. You know, it's like, yeah, praise the Lord. That's good. Keep it up. Mark?
One of the things that I felt strongly with myself, you know, the Lord teaches us to pray 9 days, meditate 9 days on His word 9 days, and so on. And get burnt out your weeks and months sometimes praying the same thing. And you could limit it to maybe 2 times a day that you think of it, that you do, because the list can be...
I suppose it's like anything else. You could obsess about it, you know, and you're praying every 5 minutes, and it's like, you know, God's not deaf.
Quite like that, but yeah. Sometimes you catch yourself, like, I might send somebody's, I told them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that brings, and our time's kind of gone here, but I've thought that about my mom, because I know my mom prayed for my dad for about 20 years before he finally got saved. And I'm thinking, I never really sat down and asked her about it, you know, how often do you pray for him? You know, were there times when you're ready just to kind of give up, this is a lost cause, or whatever, but she hung in there, and yeah, persistence, it'd been great if it'd been 20 days, or 20 weeks, but to pray for anybody for 20 years is a long time, and that's where George Mueller, and that's a neat story, if you haven't read any of his books, but, you know, he had several friends, I forget now if it was 4 or 5 friends, that he prayed for many, many years. Some of them, again, 20, 25 years. And some of them, there was one or two of them that weren't saved when he died, but got saved after he died. That's something else, too. That's a whole other subject. But, you know, a lot of things that we do when we die, that's the end of it. God doesn't say, well, they're gone. Don't have to answer that one anymore. Folks, your prayers can be answered years after you're gone. Pray for your kids. Pray for your grandkids. Who they're going to marry, that they get saved, whatever else that you want to pray for them on. You know, God's going to hear. God's going to respond, and He'll do it in the right time, whether we're here or not. You know, we may not know about it till we get to heaven. All right. But, okay, so we look here, and we'll kind of stop here, but we need to pray frequently, okay? Short prayers, long prayers, pretty much any kind of prayers will work. And it's also a good thing to kind of let people know that you're praying for them. That in itself can be an encouragement. And but again, we got God working on them. Just because you stop praying doesn't mean God stops working. That might be just when God starts. You know, his clock's not running the same as ours. And so he can begin to work. We go to sleep at night. We pray, good night, Lord. We're gone. Well, God can be working on them all night long while we're sleeping, right? God's not sleeping. He's always on the job. And that might be in the quietness of the night when he kind of gets through to people that they're too busy and distracted during the day to for him to kind of get through. But he can work on them at the night. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll continue to encourage our hearts as we think about how we can be an encouragement to others through prayer. Help us to be praying for them. There are people all over that are discouraged for one reason or another. If they weren't before, this last year has added a whole lot to it. And it doesn't look like it's going to get a whole lot better anytime soon. If you listen to the news, there's always something more that can be a discouragement. But Lord, we thank you. We can go to you, and you're able to be both meet our needs, but you can use us to pray and intercede for the needs of others. Help us not to be just me-centered, thinking about me all the time, but that we might be thinking about others and praying for them. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.